I just want to recap for just a second. On yesterday, we talked about entering into God's rest. We talked about relaxing and resting in the Lord. We understand through God's word how critical that is, because we discovered a couple of things on yesterday. Number one, we discovered that the Ten Commandments, once again, are the character of God. Do you remember that? That you got 10 fingers and 10 toes that remind you of God's 10 commandments. Amen. Because it is His character. Some will tell you that His 10 commandments have been done away with. The law of God, the character of God has been done away with. But if you read God's word, you'll discover that His law is written forever. Amen. Why? Because it is God's guideline to how you must operate. Amen. Number two, let me share this with you all tonight. Not only, and I shared this the other day, and I don't want to miss this. Not only do you have 10 fingers, and I want you to look at them, to remind you of your 10 toes, you have 7 openings in your head. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Amen. Tell us, because I told you yesterday. What is it? There you go. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that, remember what we said, enter into God's rest. God says, 6 days should I labor and do all thy work. But the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. We talk about 7 being the number of perfection.
That's right.
So when someone wants to talk down to you, and they want to look in your face and talk about you, you want to tell them, look, I am perfect in Christ. I've got 7 holes in my head to remind me that God has made me perfect in His image.
That's right.
And you do not want to allow anyone to eradicate the image of God in your life. And so you want to understand that God's got a rhythm. Do you remember? A 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a rest. A 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a rest. A 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a rest. God says, I work, then I rest. God says, you rest, then you work.
Amen. Amen.
That's why Adam was created on what day?
Six.
So the first Adam's first day was the day that he entered into God's rest.
Amen.
We're wondering why so many of us are struggling, going through discouragement, is because we're not entered into God's rest.
Amen.
God says, why don't you cease working?
Amen.
Relax and rest in the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you all tonight want to rest and relax in the Lord?
Amen.
How many of you all tonight are tired with the hustle and bustle of life?
Yeah.
You've been running too much.
Amen.
And God says, slow down.
Amen.
And so tonight we're going to make it even clearer on why it's so critical for us to understand why we should enter into God's rest. In the book of Revelations, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bible. In the book of Revelations, Revelations chapter 13, and we're going to begin with verse 11.
Amen.
Revelations chapter 13, and oftentimes I will hear people say that Revelations is a book that is sealed. It has not been opened. We don't understand the interpretations of the book of Revelations. We're oftentimes afraid of the book of Revelations. But not here.
Amen.
We believe that God's word, He allows us to understand it by reading it and studying it.
Right.
That He opens up His word. For the Bible says the word became flesh.
That's right.
And dwelt among us.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. Read silently as I read aloud. The Bible says, then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. Listen to me tonight.
Amen.
It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon.
Okay.
It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship. Listen to me tonight. I'm coming back to that. Worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs, listen to me tonight, great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in the front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives, listen to me tonight, those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image, a what?
An image.
For the beast, that the wounded, that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath, that's life, to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship, the image of the beast to be slain. Also, listen to me tonight, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. Turn to your handout. The book of Revelation, written by John, the disciple of Jesus, who was exiled on the island of Patmos, put there to die. Sitting there, John wrote the book of Revelation. This book, listen to the handout, announces itself as an apocalypse. That's an unveiling of the mysteries of the future events that will take place in these last days. Okay. Revelations was given to guide, to comfort, and strengthen the church, not only in Jesus' day, but also throughout the Christian era to the very close of time. Amen. The book of Revelation was written to the local churches that John was writing. He became a symbol of the entire Christian fellowship in apostolic times. But the message addressed to it was placed on record for the encouragement. Did I say encouragement?
Encouragement.
Of every believer in every age. Revelation is the last book of the Bible and is placed there for the people of our day to have a clear picture. Did I say clear?
Clear.
Of what will take place in these last days.
Amen.
God is not trying to hide anything from you. God is trying to share with you. God wants you to know what is going to take place. God wants you to be ready because he loves you so much that he died for you, that he allowed John to see this vision so he could write these things down. In Revelation chapter 13, John describes the beast in three ways. Number one, first he says this beast is coming up out of the earth. Stay with me. It has two horns like a lamb.
Yes.
And thirdly, it speaks like a dragon.
Amen.
Two horns like a lamb. And speaks like a dragon. I want you to stay with me. Talking about the beast. The second beast. And listen to what he says. You can go on to page 3. When you think about what the devil ultimately wants, is he wants to be worshipped. And so in the book of Matthew chapter 4, if you can recall, Jesus was there and he was preparing for his 40-day fast. And the devil approaches him and he says, look, if you will just simply bow down and worship me, I will give you all that you see here. That's incredible. The devil begins to offer the creator of the universe. If you just bow down and worship me. This whole thing from the beginning is about worship.
Yes.
The great controversy that we're talking about, that we are seeing and hearing, is about worship.
Yes.
That's why on yesterday we talked about how important it is to enter into God's rest. That God set apart, he sanctified a day by that which we can worship him.
Yes.
But so the enemy says, I want to do the same. Because I want to be worshipped.
Yes.
And so he says, what I want to do is I want to set up a different day. I want to set up a different system other than what God has told you to do.
Okay.
Because I've got the authority. And so the enemy is working on ways to discourage. So in the book, listen to me. Talking about worship, I want you to read this. It says the devil wants you to worship. This is what the whole controversy is about. Worship, allegiance, and surrender.
Yes, yes.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, I have it written down so you can read it in front of you. You can also open up your words. Revelation chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And I want you to understand, this really makes sense. When you begin to read this, you'll see how there's a connection between why the enemy wants to be worshipped. Isaiah chapter 14, 13 through 14, talking about the devil. Thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Thou hast said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. Mm-hmm. This is the devil. I want to be worshipped. Listen to this. The Bible says this beast will speak like a dragon. We know that when the Bible refers to a dragon in prophetic language, it is oftentimes talking about the devil.
That's
right. So Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, listen to what it says. He exercises all the authority. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. He exercises, the Greek would say, ekousia, which is great authority of the first beast before him. There is a system that is being set up to change your worship from God to the dragon.
Yes.
Listen to that. Yes. From God to the devil. Yes. Because it is a battle. And the enemy wants to be worshipped.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's what the battle was from the beginning. This whole thing is about worship. That's why it's so important to understand how it's important to worship God. Worship means, listen to me, recounting the acts of God. So when you come into the house of God, you're here to worship. It is a reminder of how God has moved in your life. And so the enemy wants to set something up that is a counterfeit to how God is moving in your life.
Okay.
And so the devil says, worship me.
Mm-hmm.
Bow down to me.
Yes.
I want to be the head of your life. Mm-hmm. And watch this. He is so subtle.
Yes, he is.
You really don't have to do what God says. He's not exact. Do you remember what I told you a couple of days ago? When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Eve went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yes.
And the serpent began to, this is on Friday night, the serpent began to speak lies. She touched and she tongued. Now, I told you, it wasn't the fact that they had a conversation.
Hmm.
Because it was not unusual for Adam and Eve to talk to the animals. The Bible clearly says they named the animals. But it was the content of the conversation that was different. And what the enemy wants to do is to drive you to listen to his content to deceive, at this particular moment, deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
That is his goal.
Yes.
And so the Bible says, how do you work on that? You got to be in God's word.
Right.
See, if you don't study God's word, the enemy will set up a system to deceive you.
Yes.
And so I want you to listen to what the Bible says. And I want you to turn to page 4 here. According to Bible prophecy, the greatest crisis in history is about to unfold right before our very eyes. You remember the three Hebrew boys, don't you? In the book of Daniel. The three Hebrew boys had to make a decision that either they would bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image, or stay faithful to worshiping the true and living God. Like the three Hebrew boys, everyone living during Earth's last hours will be faced with a similar choice. A choice that will forever seal your destiny. A choice that will involve obedience to God and His commandments, or worshiping and obeying the image, listen to me, of the beast. That is why it's so important to begin to work on your habits now. Did you know that? It's your habits that form your character. That's what I put there. And if you're not used to worshiping God now and making it a joy now or a habit now, then it will not be a habit then. It's a part of your character, your habits. So the things that you do, that's ultimately what you are. Oh, you guys didn't catch that. Whatever you do the most is who you are. Your habits form your character. You guys are missing this. So if someone asks you what kind of person you are, it has a lot to do with your habits. So if you're stealing all the time, you're really a thief. That's your character. If you're loving people and encouraging people, that's your character. Your character begins to form by the habits and the things that you do. And so you've got to be careful, because what the enemy wants to do is to alter your habits so he can change your character. And then you're not sensitive to the things of God. So when God speaks, you cannot even hear His voice. Because you're so damaged by the things of the world.
Amen.
So when God says stop, you can't recognize His voice. You're so in tune with the enemy. And so it's so important for us to understand. So in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, I'm still there. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, it's on your handout. God considers this message to be vitally important. Listen to what He says. If any man has an ear, let him what?
Hear.
Are you listening to the last day warning? Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead, listen to me, or in his what?
Hand.
He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full of strength into the cup of His indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of our holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. But you don't have to worry about that. That's for those who have decided to turn against God. So those kind of things only scare those who don't want to serve God. So you don't have to worry about the torment and the fire or the brimstone. Because when you give your life to God tonight, when you make a commitment tonight to follow Him all the way, you don't have to worry about that. Because that is only for those who are deciding to be sealed in their foreheads, in their hands, to follow the devil instead of following God. And what that indicates, the forehead, the sealing of the forehead in your hand, and in your forehead and in your hand, is a decision, a made up mind, that you're going to follow the devil wherever he shall go. Instead of following the Lord. It's a mind thing. Okay, here it is. Do you know where the battle is fought? The mind. The battle is fought in your mind. That's why you got to be careful for allowing people to take over your mind. It's like that movie Inception, the one that's out, where they try to plant that seed in that person's mind. That's what the enemy does. He wants to plant a seed in your mind. To destroy you. To destroy the character of God. Unless you've made, watch it, it's a made up mind. That I am not going to follow God. And then because you made it up in your mind, you begin to do it with your hands. So the things you do, your habits, your hand is moving because your brain told it to move.
That's right.
And so the enemy begins to work on your character. That's why, man, you got to be careful what you do.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, I said, man, if you're going to sin, be honest with God. He already knows.
That's right. Okay. Yes, sir.
Lord, I'm really struggling with sleeping with this woman. I really am, God, and I need your help. But when you begin to justify it, like, you know, man, hey, you know, we've been living together, might as well. Let me tell you what happens when you do that. You begin to train your mind to force God out. You got to begin to be honest with God. And God works with your honesty. Lord, I'm struggling with drinking. I really have a hard time with this. Lord, I'm struggling with drugs. I'm having a hard time with this. And that's when God can work those things out in your life. But when you're always covering up, always making an excuse, that becomes a part of your character. And God cannot get in because you're trying to lie to yourself. Even Shakespeare says, to be true to thyself. Thyself be true. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I mean, you've got to understand that what God wants from you, because he already knows, what God wants from you is honesty. Here I am, Lord. That's why I tell people all the time when you're getting ready to understand, you're accepting the Lord as your personal Savior and say, Lord, I want to go further with you. God says, look, this is the beginning of our journey, not the end. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to become a Christian. I really don't want to do this because then I have to, you know, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready and I just got, everything's got to be right. Everything's got to be perfect. I've got to stop doing this and stop doing that and stop. That's not what God expects.
No.
What God wants you to do is come. And then it's God that fixes you.
Right.
It's God that changes you. The reason why many of us have relapses is because we're trying to change ourselves.
That's right. Yeah.
And that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You got to let God, it's your time. You got to let God take over your life and let God change you. Let God mold your character to whom he would have you to be. But it's the beginning of saying, Lord, here I am. Mold me and fashion me after your will. Because I'm weak, Lord. I'm struggling. That's why some of us crawl away from sin, hoping it'll catch us. God wants to turn some things around in your life.
Yeah.
But watch this. The enemy is serious about his pursuit. He's like a roaring lion seeking to whom he... See, we're playing, but the enemy's not playing.
Right.
Let me tell you why the enemy's not playing. Because he knows what's at stake. Let me suggest to you all tonight that what's at stake is your very soul. And the devil understands that. We don't. That's why we continue to play around with sin. God wants to do something powerful for you. But you've got to be willing to receive what he is going to do. And say, Lord, here I am. You change me. So I want you to know tonight that you can't change yourself.
That's right.
You can't do it. You cannot do it. That is mistake number one. But if you just trust God, if you let God change you, I told you on yesterday that you have to enter into his rest. Remember the formula. You enter into his rest. God works. Am I right?
Yes.
You work after you've entered into his rest. And God rests. That's right. Okay, in the book of Revelations, I know I want to keep us moving. We got about 15 minutes tonight. Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. I want you to catch this. Because the enemy is, and I told you, he's setting up his system so you can be deceived. But watch this. This is heaven. Because of his signs, He deceives the whole nation.
Yes.
Are you listening to me tonight? I want you to take this controversy real. Because of his signs, he deceives the whole nation. Men have rejected the word of God when you are looking for excuses to make your wrongs right. So you can keep up your wrong habits, you are placing yourself under the control of the devil himself. Because what man cannot explain, when they see these great signs and wonders, they will accept them as God because they have not read the word of God for themselves. And will find themselves wandering after the beast and his image. So the enemy's going to, the devil's going to show these great signs and wonders. And because you have not read the word. So they'll say, the devil will say, well, look, I mean, the Bible, I mean, someone will say, well, the devil is out in the mall in Orange County, South Coast Plaza.
The devil.
The devil. And you're going to say, oh, maybe he's there. Or you're going to say, or they're going to say that Christ is in Palm Springs. And because you don't know the difference, you're going to be running to the mall, to Palm Springs, because of the great signs and wonders. For the Bible says, is it not a wonder for the devil to transform himself into what?
Angel of light.
And so the issue is if you're not reading God's word, it's easily, you can easily be deceived. Because what we cannot explain, we think that, oh, it must be God working. We talked about on Friday night the how important it is to understand that you don't want to play with your dead. You know, we call these mediums and these psychics, and we think they're talking to our old relatives because they know all of these things. But the reality is that the Bible says the dead know nothing, they're sleeping. We talked about that, remember?
Right.
And so the enemy is setting this up because what he wants to do is deceive you. It's all about worship. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. And he had power, the Bible says, the energy to give life to the image of the beast. And if you oppose that image, listen to me, you will be put to death. There are some things that you have to learn to stand for. Martin Luther King Jr. says what? There are some situations that you have to go all out for, isn't that right? So you got to stop being, listen to me, in the middle row. I have it right there for you. On the river, on the bank. On the river, on the bank. But you've got to begin to realize that you have to say, Lord, here I am. I know there's a battle going on. I know there's a war going on. But Lord, I want to stand up for you. Because remember, the enemy wants to be worshipped. That's the key. Worship. It has always been about worship. The Bible says the 6 days shall they do all that work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. You know what the word of God says? You know what the word says? And if it's not in God's word, it does not deserve to be heard.
That's right.
And so the enemy says, I'm going to create a counterfeit day. A day that I can be worshipped. And it's very subtle. It's very subtle. Because what he's attempting to do is to draw you from the worship of God.
That's right.
And if you're not careful, you'll fall right into his traps. Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. The Bible says this lamb, like beast, will cause many people to receive a mark in their right hands or in forehead, or in their forehead, a sign of allegiance to the beast and the dragon. The mark of the beast, listen to me, identifies the bearer and wearer of this mark as loyal to the power represented by the beast. Does that make sense? The mark of the beast will be represented, listen to me tonight, by breaking God's fourth commandment and uplifting the commandments of men. John predicted that Satan will try to force everyone to receive the mark of the beast. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 and 17 says, he causes, it's in the word, all, not some, but all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man may do what? Except one that has who? Or the name? Or the number? A made up mind. I simply put it there. A made up mind. I mean, it's not that deep. It's simplistic. The devil wants you, and God wants you. God is fighting for you. And the enemy has set up his system so he can win.
Amen.
And it started from the beginning.
Right.
When he told Eve that if you eat of this fruit, you shall not surely die.
And she died.
He lied. I mean, you don't see her around, do you?
She died.
He lied. He's always been the great deceiver. And he goes around deceiving men and women, boys and girls, because oftentimes we don't take enough time to read God's word.
That's right.
It's right there in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not hidden from your eyes.
Yeah.
But we're so interested in listening to, what did my pastor say?
Mm.
I told you before, check everything that I say. That's why I put it on paper. So, because I know sometimes you go home, you forget, what did he say? It's right there on paper. You can look up the text. You can ask questions. For the Bible is clear on what it's saying. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's coming to take his people back home with him. The enemy is fighting with everything that he can to keep you and to destroy you. It's a battle. And it starts with worship. That's why you have to watch the signs of the times.
Yeah.
Because the devil wants to deceive you through worship.
Yes. Yes.
So as we read God's word, and I like to see, as I put it, the most solemn moment will soon face every individual on earth.
That's
right. Just right there.
Okay.
Just right there. The most solemn moment.
Yeah.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust then. He that is filthy, let him be filthy. He that is righteous. That moment, if your life is not right with God, and that means surrender to God. What kind of feeling do you think you would have at that moment when Christ were to return and you have not made that decision to follow him? And it's no magic trick. It's just a simple, Lord, here I am. You remember when Peter was sinking? What did he say? Anybody know, any Bible readers know? Just a simple phrase. He didn't get into no deep theological discussion because he was drowning. He understood what was taking place. And he simply said, Lord, save me. That's what each one of us need to be saying, even tonight. Lord, here I am, with all of my baggage. I'm not perfect, God. With all of my issues, save me. No one will be able to buy or sell who does not have the mark of the beast. First comes the boycott, then the death decree, and for those who receive the mark of the beast, the seven last plagues. Do you see why this issue is so important?
Yes.
Why it is a life and death matter? Why is it is so vital that we choose now to honor God? But there's good news. You know, you got to have good news. Some of us say amen.
Amen.
There is good news for those who choose to honor God and receive his seal. Amen. They may not be able to buy or sell, but God says your bread shall be. God will take care of us all night and all day.
Amen.
Angels watching over us. Isn't that right? Yes. Psalms 91 verse 5 through 8. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
It says, concerning the plagues to be poured out upon the earth, God promises, you shall not be afraid of the terror, come on, by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. That's our reading version. I love that. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000. How many?
1,000.
May fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes. Isn't that something? And if you still wonder what would happen, the Bible says, because you have made the Lord the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you that dwelling. For he shall give his angels, who?
Angels.
Charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. There will be a people who will stand. There will be a group of people who are going to be willing to get up and stand up for God. John was shown that in the book of Revelations, those who gained the victory over the image of the beast, and as I saw, they were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the hearts of God, singing the song of Moses of deliverance. Yes, it is a song of their experience because they stood for God. How many of you all tonight want to stand for God? If you want to stand for God, I want to invite you to stand with me tonight. I want you to understand that God has got a plan just for you. You know, when you go to a personal trainer, they write up a specific plan just for you. It's not generic. It's specific just for you. That's what God wants to do for you tonight.